the Fab Four, Lennon, McCartney, Harrison and Ringo Starr, all born and brought up in Liverpool. And this new illustrated guide explains why the city was crucial to their musical success. Delighted to be joining me live on the line, author of The Beatles Liverpool, Mike Haskins. Mike, good to have you back on the show.
Hello, how are you, Giles?
I'm very well. You can see me, so you can see me drumming away. I forgot how good the drumming is on Strawberry Fields Forever.
Because it's amazing.
If you listen to it, and people always underestimate, don't they, Ringo as a drummer, but that he absolutely nails it. No wonder he was going to be off shortly afterwards if they didn't like that sort of style of drumming.
No, it's very distinctive. Left-handed drummer playing a right-handed kit, as they say, and he's got this swing in his playing. So, yeah, he's very underestimated as a drummer. It was always, that joke that John Lennon was supposed to have said, is Ringo the best drummer in the world? He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles, which, of course, John Lennon never said, did he?
Another urban myth,
it was said probably sometime after, but it's on Jasper Carrot. But in fact, somebody came up with a joke before that even. But not John Lennon, because Ringo is a great drummer.
I'm glad that we slayed that particular demon. Now then, it's an interesting one, the Beatles, because if you think about the legacy of the Beatles, and there are so many stages in the evolution of the band, from those sort of cheeky, chappy types, those of you in the cheap seats applaud the rest of you rattle your jewellery, as they famously said at the Royal Variety Performance. Everybody's favourite sort of Liverpudlians, and that was when to be from Liverpool. It was that the whole Merseybeat thing. But then they became, as their minds expanded, shall we say, charitably, and they moved away and they went all points, India, and they, went down to that there, London. You could argue that they moved away from Liverpool physically, but if you like, spiritually and, emotionally, they were always still in Liverpool.
Well, they were a gang of great Liverpool characters, weren't they? Just perfectly cast, all four of them, and John Lennon, the group formed around him. And you can see on that recent sort of Get Back film that the Peter Jackson series that's been on Apple, what's it on? It's on Amazon Prime, isn't it? It's on one of those.
It's on one of those streaming systems that we don't talk about.
Yeah, we don't refer to, yes. But you can see just how funny he is and how magnetic he is as a personality. And the gang sort of coalesced around him. And they, of course, appeared, they joined in the order that we think of them, John, Paul, George, Ringo. And as Mark Lewisohn, the great Beatles author, would point out, each one asked the next one in the line to join. So John got Paul to join, Paul got George to join, and George asked Ringo to join.
And I mean, it all goes back, doesn't it? All it dates its DNA to the Quarrymen and the school. And they were all, because, now let me get this, was Tarby in the same, was Jimmy Tarbuck in the same school as the Beatles?
I don't think he was at Quarrybank, was he?
He was at the same school as John Sitz. Yeah, sorry.
But he'd been at primary school with John Lennon. So there was a picture of them all, I think, on the Isle of Man. They all go for a holiday with the, which was his school he was at before? Dovedale, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he's there with the headmaster, and you can see all the boys in the sea there. And I think, Jimmy Tarbuck is one of them. And I think Peter Sissons, who was later a newsreader, who then went on to be at school with Paul.
Correct.
At the Institute. So he's there as well. But it's interesting because the headmaster, if your listeners are very familiar with the works of John Lennon, the headmaster in those photographs in the Isle of Man is the one who John Lennon has done a drawing of on the cover of his 1974 album, was it? Walls and Bridges. And there's a picture of a man there with the moustache, and that's his headmaster from Dovedale.
Wow.
So, yeah, amazing.
So yeah, you never forget your headmasters, apparently. Liverpool is linked with the Beatles. The Beatles are linked with Liverpool. St. Peter's Church, for example, which may sound like a nondescript place of worship to those who don't know, but had an absolutely huge, meeting of minds that was to shape the destiny of 21st of 20th yes. century music.
We're still talking about it, that two boys met at this church. So St. Peter's is the church in Walton, which is the village, the part of Liverpool where John Lennon lived. So all these places are sort of detailed in the book, and you get pictures of them, and you get a little bit about them, and lots of interesting facts. But St. Peter's is the church in Walton. 6th of July 1957, a lot of people know the date. John Lennon is playing there with his his band, the Quarrymen, because he went to Quarry Banks School, as you said, which I taught at for a while, interestingly enough. Not very well, but I did. So he's playing there. He's still at school just about at that point, because this is July 1957. So he's going to leave that school in just a few weeks. And John Lennon, who lived on Menlove Avenue, again, all these places are in the book, of course, lived with his Aunt Mimi and Uncle George, who died a couple of years before at this stage. But backing onto him were all his friends. They lived on a place called Vale Road, which just around the back. You just played Strawberry Fields.
Yeah.
If you go along John Lennon's Road, Menlove Avenue, and just turn around the corner into Vale Road, where all his friends lived, there was a wall. And you climbed over that wall, and you were then in the grounds of Strawberry Fields, or Strawberry Field, it was called for a while. But yeah, that was the grounds of the children's home, Strawberry Fields. And they would just go in there, maybe smoke a cigarette, you know, just climb up a tree.
Muck around as generally.
Yeah. But anyway, so backing on to John Lennon's house on Menlove Avenue was one of his great friends, Ivan Vaughan. Right,
yeah.
Ivan Vaughan had been at primary school with John, but when he got to secondary school age, Ivan's mum said, "You're not going to that quarry bank with John Lennon, because he's just going to mess around and you will not get your O levels. So you'll go to the Liverpool Institute." Said so. She sends him to the Liverpool Institute, Ivan, and he's there, and he meets a lad in his class who's born on exactly the same day as him, and that was Paul McCartney. So of course they become friends. And he said, "Oh, you know, you're interested in music. You should come and meet my friend John." Just lives their gardens literally back onto each other. And so he's the one who gets Paul to cycle over from Allerton. Paul is in a corporation house, as we would have said, down on Fortin Road with his family. And he cycles across the golf course, cycles across Menlove Avenue, up the hill to St. Peter's Church. And he walks in, he comes in through the front, passes the grave of Eleanor Rigby, in the graveyard, of course,
yep.
Which he denies has anything to do with the song, and goes around to the field at the back, and there, playing there, is John Lennon and his band. And there we are, and it's there are a historic moment. And then later in the day, the Quarrymen have got another set. They're going to play in the St. Peter's Hall, which is just across the road from the church.
Yeah.
And Paul goes and hangs around with them, and that's basically where he auditions. He auditions on John Lennon's guitar, which he's got to play upside down and backwards, because of course he is left-handed, but nevertheless he's so impressive that they ask him to join the band. And he's coming down, he meets another of John's friends on Vale Road a few weeks later, Pete Shotton, John's great friend, and Pete says, "Oh, John would like you to join the band." And of course there we are, the rest is history.
It's interesting, isn't it? The thing I love about this, it's a couple of things that spring to mind, apart from passing the grave of Eleanor Rigby, etc., is the fact that there's a few bits and pieces. We're talking that late 50s, and it was a time of, you know, a time of austerity, but it was also a time of skiffle. You know, people like Lonnie Donegan, etc., and you know, you made your own. You got the Burt Wilden songbook, or you made a stand up a T chest double bass and whatever, and you had a go, didn't you? And also. And Liverpool was also obviously a huge port city, so there would be this import, you know, because you couldn't go online, and you couldn't get sort of records normally. So there were these great sort of, you know, Eddie Cochran records would be brought over by, you know, from music would come in from the States direct to the ports, because it wasn't air freighted, and it came on ships.
Well, two things there. Firstly, skiffle, which was like the punk rock of its day, and you say austerity, you know, that's the reason, you know, all the instruments they're using, the tea chest bass, so you'd get a broom handle, stick it in your tea chest, you know, who's seen a tea chest recently? And, you know, a bit of string there, make the bass, so it just goes boom, 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 boom. No actual tune to it, but you can make a sort of booming sound on it. You've got the, the washboard, which I think Pete Shotton.
When did you last see a washboard, etc.? You can't do the same with a tumble dryer, can you? Let's face it.
Yeah, so it's very much of its time. But yeah, so that was the, you know, you could do this. You just needed a cheap guitar, which John Lennon had. He had a very cheap guitar, not a great one at all. They had a boy who played banjo, didn't they, in the Quarrymen as well? But yeah, all very sort of cheaply done. So that's what got them going. They were a skiffle band, which is why they were allowed to play at the Cavern very early on.
Right.
So the Quarrymen got a booking at the Cavern in 1957. Do you know how they got that?
I don't, but I'm about to be enlightened in the way that Buddha probably was all those centuries ago. Come on, enlighten me.
John Lennon's third friend who lived in Vale Road just around the back from him was a guy called Nigel Wally. Nigel Wally was really into golf, right? So and this, he's 16 years old. So he's out playing on the golf course and he's playing with a guy called Dr. Sittner, right? And Dr. Sittner's son, who's called Alan Sittner, had just opened a new club in the city centre, and that was the Cavern. So that is how the Quarrymen got their first booking at the Cavern. It's because they knew somebody from the golf club. I don't know if you remember John Lennon's song Working Class Hero.
Of course.
I don't remember him mentioning that they knew someone from the golf club, and that's how they got the booking at the Cavern. Anyway, but yeah, you were saying about the records coming in on the ships.
Yeah.
I think this, I mean, I was talking to a brilliant guy called Spencer Lee the other day, who I'm working with on something at the moment. And he has looked into this. And, you know, all the records that the what we now call the Mersey Beat bands, all the Jerry and the Pacemakers and the Big Three and Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, all the songs that they were playing, because, of course, the Beatles themselves were not playing their own material when they were on this sort of circuit originally in Liverpool. But all those songs, they did all get a UK release. So in a way, so, you know, and as has been pointed out, you get the Mersey sound. Why don't you get the Southampton sound if it was all to do with the records coming in on ships? So, you know, it may not be quite the way we think. But anyway, they were getting hold of these records somehow. And I think it was just a very vibrant scene in Liverpool. Because they said everybody wants to get up. Everybody wants to show off. It would be a tradition to have parties and everyone would do a turn. So, and of course, John Lennon, bit of a show off. And then he just finds this music, he loves it, and he wants to get out playing it.
And I may have just come to the, you may have just answered your own question to why there's not a Southampton scene and a Merseybeat scene, because we're the best will in the world to find denizens of Southampton. We've all had memorable nights out with guys, people, girls and guys from Liverpool, and, you know, a night out in Liverpool can probably leave you with several, you know, bruises to the wallet, the kidneys and whatever other parts of your person, whereas just Southampton, yeah, let's talk about that. Listen, I want to talk, interesting to talk about the Cavern, because, you know, several thousand years ago when dinosaurs ruled the earth and I was at prep school, we had to do a form project, okay, and our form teacher was from Liverpool, and he, in a moment of inspiration, said, with this year's form class, this year's form project is the Beatles, right? So this is 1978, okay? So we did this whole thing, and that's where my knowledge of stuff sort of came out with the Beatles, because he was in Liverpool, the whole thing. And on our form trip, we went to Liverpool. Now, this is not tourist-friendly Liverpool. This is not Albert Dock renovated Liverpool. This is 1978, okay? And we did the cathedrals, as we always did, and then we did the Cavern. Now, the Cavern now isn't where it used to be, okay? So the original Cavern, and I remember it was raining because, hey, we took a bus that was steamed up to the middle of nowhere on this very sort of sad-looking street, and there was still the original sign. So, and then also we got the ferry on the Mersey, which, again, it was the 70s, so it wasn't exactly an interactive tourist experience. In fact, it was quite miserable. You know, so Liverpool has undergone an amazing change, you know, Albert Dock, etc. Yeah. And my last trip to Liverpool, which, yeah, and let's not even go there, but I ended up in the new Cavern and thought, wow, this is amazing, what little bits I can remember of it. So how much of the original Liverpool is there, and how much of these streets that we're talking about, you know, that where Lennon grew up, for example, still exist?
Well, quite a lot of it, yeah, obviously. But, yeah, amazing that you went in 1978, because Liverpool in the 70s, was quite a grey, down place in many ways. And, of course, there was no Beatle tourism to speak of. So you're quite right. You know, you'd go, there'd be nothing to look at. They wanted to put up a statue to Beatles in 1974, but that's when we're not having that. You know, the council didn't want to do it because they felt deserted by the Beatles at that stage. They'd gone away. It's like the Liver Birds on the Liver Building. They'd flown away. And so Liverpool was going through quite a bad time. But, of course, in a way, tragically, the thing that turned that was death of John Lennon in 1980. And then suddenly there was this growing interest in Liverpool, in the Beatles. And now, yeah, it's a brilliant place to visit. So, yeah, just wonderful. Yeah. So not this murky grey, you know, kind of slightly terrifying place. But, yeah, the Cavern, you say it's sort of in the same place. I mean, what happened to the Cavern? was it was closed down in the 70s, and it was filled with rubble to be turned into a ventilation shaft for the Mersey Underground system. It's now open. It's the same address, so it's sort of the same place, and they've reconstructed it beautifully, as you say. So it's a fantastic place to visit. All these, you know, there's so many great places you can go to now in Liverpool. And Pete Best's brother has got a museum just along Matthew Street from the cavern. But so many of the places, obviously the homes, the schools, a lot of the places they played, the Casbah, which was Pete Best's mum's house. They still have that place, and they've got the, she opened up like a club for teenagers in her basement.
Oh, and brilliant.
The story of Pete Best's mum, it's all a bit mysterious. She said she got the money to buy the house because she put money on Lester Pickett's horse in his first race or something at the Derby. And she made so much money from that, she was able to buy this house, which is way out in West Derby, on Hayman's Green, a sort of road in West Derby. So, all these places, you know, there are plenty of them. Mind you, you go out to some of them, the upkeep of Beatles tourism hasn't quite reached them yet. Mm. So that's interesting to see them sort of as they were. The first place that John and Paul played on stage, which was the new Clubmore Hall, which is out in a place called, it's out near Norris Green, which again is way out from the city centre.
Yes, I know Norris Green. Yes. To say that the Beatles' money hasn't reached there would be something of an understatement. It's a live and lively place, I think we can agree.
Well, somebody should do it, because that is a historic building. And that is the first place Paul McCartney played live on stage in a band. So that is amazing. But yeah, it's this terrible, flat roofed, awful thing behind a wire fence, security fence. But still very interesting if you know the story.
Let me put it this way. On my later Liverpool trip, not my school trip, but my later Liverpool trip, I was dancing in the revamped Cavern Club, and I woke up in Norris Green. That's the sort of night it was, okay?
Oh my goodness me. God knows what happened to you.
Let's not even go there. Now, I mean, we're talking about, the fun of the games, but there's also tragedy in this. And Lennon grew up, was brought up by his aunt Mimi, and the house he lived in, something quite horrendous and tragic happened that he would see the sight of this practically every day.
He would have done because I mean, the whole story of John and his mum and his aunt Mimi is a very, very strange story, because he lived in a house called Mendips, which is on Menlove Avenue, which is a big road. One interesting thing about the book, you think, how long would it take to walk from John Lennon's house into the city centre? People think about half an hour. No, it's about an hour and a half, hour and three quarters. It's way out. Liverpool is a strange, sprawling city, which is one reason why I wanted to do this book. But yeah, so he lived in this house, Mendips, with his Aunt Mimi and Uncle George. But Aunt Mimi had basically taken him off her sister, Julia, her younger sister, Julia. Julia had been married to a guy called Alf Lennon, and there was a house there in Walton, the Dairy Cottage, which belonged to Uncle George, and they lived in there. It's the only place that John Lennon's entire family all lived together, just for a short time. Then the dad was off to sea. Julia eventually took up with another man. They moved into a bedsit in a place called Gattaca. Again, maybe one of the slightly rougher areas, but they were in this bedsit with John, who by this stage is about five years old, so he's not a baby, and he's living, sharing a bed with, shall we say, an enthusiastic young couple. Mm. So Aunt Mimi comes along, sees this, that this is not right, so she goes back, gets the somebody from the Liverpool Welfare Committee, somebody from the council to come back, and they say, oh yes, this isn't right, and they take the child off Julia. So that's terrible. So he doesn't have much contact with his mum for a few years after that. Then he starts to see her, and she's the one who, she loves music. She plays the banjo. She teaches him banjo chords, which he then plays on the guitar. And then they're getting, better acquainted by, 1958, wasn't it? John Lennon's spending quite a lot of time around at his mum's house. His mum lives sort of more over near Paul in Allerton. She's on Blomfield Road, which is, you know, about 5 minutes walk away from Paul's house. So he's spending more time over there. So she goes round one night to see Mimi, her sister, and have a word. What are we going to do about John? Because it's costing us a packet having him over there all the time. And she leaves. John's friend, Nigel Wally, the golf-playing enthusiast we mentioned earlier, calls round to see John. John is not in. Never mind. So he's just going to walk back up the road and round to his house on Vale Road. Julia goes with him. And so she's walking along the road with him. He turns up to go back to his house on Vale Road. Julia says goodbye, crosses the road to the bus stop on the opposite side so she can get her bus back to Penny Lane and then back out to Allerton. She never makes it to the bus stop, of course, because she is run down by an off-duty policeman. Mm. And, so that is all within sight of the front gate of John Lennon's home. So he would have seen that, like you say, every day when, if he's going anywhere, he'd be going to that bus stop. His mum died just on the road outside. So it's very, very tragic.
And if you hear the song Julia as well, which is one of the most, it's the heart, that's Lennon heartfelt in his, before he became sort of the New York personality that he did and the hard, sarcastic cynic, you can kind of get that in Julia.
Yes, it's a beautiful song.
It is. And Penny Lane. Because if you think of Beatles in Liverpool, I think that's the one that people, apart from two you think of, Eleanor Rigby, obviously. But Penny Lane is a great, is a great snapshot into city life.
Yeah. And Penny Lane, you can still go there. And all these places are still, there's still a Barber's there. I don't think it's the original Barber's. The original Barber's, Bialetti's, I think it was. All the Beatles apparently went to, Bialetti's to get their hair cut. And interesting fact about the barbers, they also had a regular job. They used to have to go to Strawberry Fields to cut the hair of the boys in the children's home there. So that's an interesting connection. So yeah, Penny Lane's there. When Paul came over and he did the thing on James Corden's show, and they're going up and down Penny Lane itself. That's not really what the song is about. The song is about Penny Lane, which is like a bus destination. So Penny Lane is going off Smithdown Road. And so, you would say, I'm going to Penny Lane. So it's the bus stop at the top of Penny Lane. And then it's this bus roundabout. It's not really like a roundabout, but it's the thing the buses go around.
Yeah.
So, that is there. And all the places mentioned, the bank and the fire station is a little bit further along towards Paul's house in Allerton. But the interesting thing is, like I say, Julia was heading back to Penny Lane that day. Mm. If Paul was going to John's house, he was going to get the bus, you'd go to Penny Lane and then you'd change and then you'd go out that way. Or Paul would go through it every day on the bus on his way into the Liverpool Institute. So, he loves his bus. He used to say he regretted not being able to, go on a bus, Paul, didn't he?
They were the Beatles. They could have bought a... Paul McCartney could have bought a bus and had somebody drive it. And he could have had a bus conductor saying,
that's
have you got...
not his way.
Have you got the fare, please, Paul? Get off.
I know, but that's not his way. He used to love going into the city centre and buying a record and he'd sit on the bus going out to Allison, looking at the cover of the record, and so obviously it's just like it looms very, very large in his memory.
And here's a question for you, Mike, because we always go, and for those who haven't been to Liverpool, where does the ferry cross the Mersey go to, by the way? Why would you want to get a ferry cross the Mersey?
Because it comes over here to where I live in the Wirral. I'm just here. Right. So the Liverpool ferry has been going for 1,000 years, isn't it? So it used to be the monks from Birkenhead Priory. So Birkenhead is the place right opposite Liverpool.
Yeah.
Right. And then you've also got Wallasey and New Brighton. All these places, big places in sort of Beatle history. So they're all covered in the book because they played in Wallasey a lot and they played at New Brighton Tower Ballroom a lot. That's where they met Little Richard. Little Richard's keyboard player was a guy called Billy Preston, who was, about 16 years old then.
The fifth Beatle.
Child. Yeah, that's right. And much later came in on the big Get Back sessions and just really sort of, invigorated them then. But yeah, that's where they met him, in New Brighton with Little Richard's band. So there's all sorts of places. And further down, there's a place called Port Sunlight, which is a lovely little kind of, what we say, model village, not like a sort of miniature village, but a model village built by Lord Lever for his, for the workers in his factory at Port Sunlight, making sunlight soap. But in Port Sunlight is a place called Hume Hall, which used to be a sort of dining hall for the workers. But that is where the Beatles first played with their new lineup of John, Paul, George and new drummer Ringo in August 1962, just after Ringo joined. That's the first place they played.
Absolutely fascinating. I'm going to run out of time, and we were thinking we'd get 10 minutes out of this. Well, it's been 26 minutes, believe it or not.
I'm sorry, I've gone on.
It's all right, we like that. The book is called The Beatles Liverpool. It's by Mike Haskins. Mike, where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, I am on Twitter at MikeHaskins11, so I would love to see anyone who wants to join me there.
They'll find you there. The book is called The Beatles Liverpool. It's by Mike Haskins. Mike, thank you so much for your time today.